Have you ever wondered what it would be like to access your best mental self consistently? The version of you who learns quickly, remembers everything, and responds with emotional intelligence? While science fiction portrays dramatic mental upgrades through pills or neural implants, what if even modest improvements in everyday cognitive abilities could transform your life? This question drove Elizabeth R. Ricker, MIT and Harvard graduate, to embark on a decade-long journey exploring the frontiers of brain enhancement. Her book, Smarter Tomorrow, has become a sensation among Silicon Valley executives, professional athletes, and anyone seeking evidence-based methods to optimize their brain. Endorsed by Adam Grant and featured in publications like The Wall Street Journal, this guide to neurohacking offers a revolutionary approach to mental performance that combines cutting-edge neuroscience with practical self-experimentation techniques anyone can use. Traditional self-help asks you to blindly follow an authority figure's instructions, ignoring individual differences and avoiding accountability through measurement. This approach has created a multi-billion-dollar industry with questionable effectiveness, filled with charismatic speakers selling one-size-fits-all solutions at expensive seminars. Many popular self-help books make sweeping claims without scientific backing, relying instead on anecdotes and feel-good messaging that rarely translates to lasting change. Scientific self-help, by contrast, embraces measurement and accountability while recognizing individual differences. Rather than prescribing one solution for everyone, it teaches you to compare options and determine what works best for your unique situation through self-experimentation. This approach draws from established research methods, incorporating control periods, consistent measurement, and systematic documentation of results. Self-experimentation, where you act as both researcher and subject, has a distinguished history in scientific advancement. At least 14 Nobel Prize winners since 1901 were self-experimenters, with half winning prizes in the very areas where they conducted self-experiments. Jonas Salk tested his polio vaccine on himself and his family to demonstrate confidence in his findings, while Nobel laureate Rosalind Yalow considered it the most ethical approach, noting, "We always used ourselves because we are the only ones who can give truly informed consent." Barry Marshall famously drank H. pylori bacteria to prove it caused ulcers, revolutionizing treatment approaches and earning himself a Nobel Prize. The core of scientific self-help is trying something, discovering whether it works for you, and adjusting accordingly through systematic testing. For example, to test if meditation improves your attention, you'd measure your attention using standardized tests, meditate for a specified time period, perhaps 20 minutes daily for 4 weeks, then measure again, repeating this process enough times to avoid random variations skewing your results. You might also include control periods where you don't meditate to compare outcomes. This approach transforms personal theories into discoveries and unlocks powerful insights about your unique mind. What makes neurohacking different from traditional self-improvement is its focus on finding creative shortcuts to improve brain function using common materials for uncommon purposes while challenging conventional wisdom. It combines exploring your current mental abilities with testing interventions to upgrade them, all driven by curiosity about how the mind works. For instance, neurohackers might experiment with light therapy to regulate sleep cycles, use specific sound frequencies to enhance focus, or test various nootropic compounds to optimize cognitive performance. They carefully track results using quantitative measures like reaction time tests, memory assessments, or productivity metrics, rather than relying on subjective feelings. This scientific approach to self-improvement emphasizes reproducibility, careful documentation, and evidence-based decision-making. It acknowledges that what works for one person may not work for another, and provides tools to discover personalized solutions through methodical experimentation rather than blind faith in expert recommendations. The foundation of effective neurohacking is the Neurohacker's Ladder, a four-step process abbreviated as FSTR, pronounced faster. This structured approach helps ensure your brain improvement efforts are methodical and measurable. The first step is focus, identifying specific mental targets to improve rather than attempting too many changes simultaneously. This requires assessing your current mental abilities across various domains and establishing a baseline for comparison. To avoid practice effects, improving at tests just by taking them repeatedly, take performance tests about 5 times within a week until scores stabilize, then use the second highest score as baseline. Next comes selection, choosing appropriate interventions and designing experiment protocols. The book offers pre-designed 15-minute daily protocols organized by mental targets with varying costs and complexity. To avoid carryover effects, lingering impacts from previous interventions, include washout periods between experiments. For comparing interventions, randomization schedules help prevent systematic bias. The third step, training, is when you actually implement the interventions according to your chosen protocols and randomization method. During this phase, you'll record pre- and post-test results daily in your lab notebook, including a washout period to see how well you function without the intervention. Finally, reflection involves analyzing your collected data to determine intervention effectiveness. Visual graphs often provide clearer insights than numerical calculations alone. For analysis, compare the second highest scores from baseline, intervention, and washout periods, avoiding highest scores as potential flukes. To maintain motivation throughout this process, use 3 key tools: a dedicated neurohacker's notebook for recording goals and results, an accountability partner to nearly double your success rate, and evidence-based habit formation techniques like implementation planning and habit stacking. Before attempting to enhance your cognitive performance, it's essential to identify any underlying health or lifestyle factors that might be limiting your mental capabilities. Just as a computer programmer would debug software before adding new features, you should address basic physiological needs that affect brain function. Sleep quality dramatically impacts cognitive performance, with higher-order thinking particularly vulnerable to sleep deficits. Air quality, temperature, and nutrition also play crucial roles. Even short-term exposure to pollution lowers mental performance, while deficiencies in micronutrients from fruits, vegetables, and nuts can cause brain fog, headaches, and attention difficulties. About 10% of Americans have vitamin or mineral deficiencies, with B6, iron, vitamin D, vitamin C, and B12 being most common. People on restrictive diets face higher risks of specific deficiencies that can impair brain function, like creatine deficiency in vegetarians, affecting reasoning ability and working memory. While blood tests provide definitive answers about nutritional deficiencies, food tracking apps can help monitor micronutrient intake between tests. Mental health is equally critical to cognitive performance. Depression, which affects about 1 in 14 American adults, causes significant cognitive impairments, including reduced processing speed, working memory issues, and overall IQ drops. These impairments can be reversed with effective treatment. With 1 in 5 Americans affected by mental illness during their lifetime, addressing mental health issues can dramatically improve cognitive functioning. The book provides a comprehensive self-assessment covering 10 critical areas that could be bottlenecking mental performance: sleep, hydration, air/breathing, nutrition, physical strength, energy, safety, social connectedness, spirituality/meaning, medical health, and life events stressors. Lower scores indicate potential bottlenecks affecting cognitive function that should be addressed before attempting more advanced neurohacking techniques. Executive function, the brain's CEO-like capabilities, orchestrates our most sophisticated mental activities, serving as the command center for planning, decision-making, error correction, and adaptation to novel situations. It comprises 3 core components: working memory, holding and manipulating information like juggling multiple tasks or remembering a phone number while using it, inhibition, restraining impulses and filtering out distractions, and cognitive flexibility, smoothly switching between tasks and integrating diverse information sources. These executive abilities correlate remarkably strongly with life outcomes across multiple domains. A groundbreaking New Zealand study that followed 1,000 children from birth to age 32 found that childhood self-control predicted adult health outcomes, financial stability, substance abuse patterns, and criminal behavior, even after controlling for socioeconomic status and IQ. Working memory capacity in preschoolers has proven to be a more reliable predictor of academic achievement than traditional IQ measures, forecasting reading comprehension, mathematical ability, and overall scholastic performance through high school. Executive functions are primarily housed in the prefrontal cortex, located just behind the forehead. Advanced neuroimaging studies reveal this region lights up during complex decision-making, strategic planning, and error detection. However, executive function rarely operates in isolation. It requires seamless coordination between multiple brain regions, including the hippocampus for memory retrieval, sensory areas for environmental input, and motor regions for action execution. This intricate neural network explains why executive function can be vulnerable to various factors, including stress, sleep deprivation, and aging. Assessment of executive function can be approached through multiple methods, each offering unique insights. Professional psychological evaluations provide comprehensive analysis, but are costly and time-intensive. Self-report questionnaires, like the Behavior Rating Inventory of Executive Function, BRIEF, offer practical insights into daily executive function challenges. Performance-based computerized tests have gained scientific validation through research at institutions like Harvard's McLean Hospital, showing strong correlations with traditional assessment methods. Regular testing over time proves particularly valuable for tracking improvements or declines in executive function capabilities. Specific performance tests target different aspects of executive function. The NBAC test challenges working memory by requiring participants to identify matches in sequences of letters or symbols presented at varying intervals. The ruler drop test measures processing speed and reaction time through a simple but effective physical task. The flanker test evaluates inhibitory control by testing the ability to focus on target stimuli while ignoring competing information. The Stroop test, perhaps the most famous, assesses both inhibition and cognitive flexibility by creating conflict between automatic reading responses and color identification, providing insight into mental control and adaptation capabilities. Viktor Frankl, who survived Nazi concentration camps, noted that our power lies in the space between stimulus and response. This space is where emotional self-regulation operates, allowing us to make decisions that determine our future. Emotional self-regulation is the ability to monitor, assess, and modify your emotions both consciously and subconsciously. The emotionally self-regulated person possesses two defining characteristics: the ability to delay expressing emotions when appropriate, and the ability to influence their own feelings, thoughts, and physiology. High emotional self-regulation correlates with success in work, school, and relationships. For instance, someone with strong regulation might recognize when stress is hampering productivity and take a brief walk to regain focus, rather than slogging through ineffectively. The process involves four key steps: awareness, recognizing emotionally charged situations; selection, choosing what to focus on; interpretation, how you frame the situation; and response, how you act based on your interpretation. Brain scans reveal that during emotional self-regulation, two key areas become highly active: the prefrontal cortex, involved in executive function, and emotion-generating regions like the amygdala. The strength of connection between these areas increases during self-regulation efforts. Beyond the brain, emotions trigger bodily responses. The adrenal cortex releases fight-or-flight chemicals, causing cascading changes throughout the body, affecting heart rate variability, fingertip temperature, pupil dilation, and skin chemistry. This whole-body involvement may explain why body-focused meditation techniques can be so effective for emotional management. Currently, emotional self-regulation is primarily measured through self-reporting surveys, though biological assessments are emerging. Companies like MindStrong Health track smartphone usage patterns for mental health indicators, while Neurometrics uses typing cadence as a biomarker for neurological changes. Heart rate variability, already tracked by many wearables, has known connections to emotional regulation and will likely feature in future smartwatch applications. While most of us struggle with remembering certain things, some rare individuals, like Nima Vaisa, have hyperthymesia, an extraordinary ability to recall autobiographical details with 97% accuracy. However, this perfect memory comes with costs. Constant memory triggering can be distracting, and even hyperthymestics remain susceptible to false memories. Their secret appears to be better memory consolidation through obsessive rehearsal of experiences. Memory operates in three distinct stages: encoding, when senses detect something; storage, filtering through sensory memory to short-term and potentially long-term memory; and retrieval, accessing stored information. We typically remember information that's emotionally intense, surprising, fits existing patterns, or that we deliberately try to remember. At the neuronal level, forgetting happens when neurons fall out of sync and lose their link, essentially disconnecting from each other when they stop firing together. Four main memory types operate in different brain regions. Autobiographical memory involves multiple areas, including the amygdala. Working memory primarily engages the prefrontal cortex. Semantic memory, facts and concepts, relies heavily on the hippocampus and temporal lobe, and procedural memory, skills like riding a bike, depends on the striatum. Interestingly, as we develop expertise, brain activity shifts. Novices show intense prefrontal cortex activity, while experts' brains appear quieter, using automatic processes and long-term memory instead of working memory. Strong learning and memory capabilities save time, build confidence, and help us adapt to rapidly changing circumstances. With increasing job automation potentially displacing 75 to 350 million workers globally by 2030, the ability to learn quickly becomes crucial for career adaptation. Additionally, the overwhelming rate of new information we face daily makes efficient learning and memory more valuable than ever. Creativity defies simple definition, but can be quantified as producing numerous, useful, novel items within a time frame. Research challenges the notion that genius-level IQ is necessary for creativity. Studies show kindergartners outperforming adults in creative building tasks. The threshold hypothesis suggests an IQ around 120, above average but not exceptional, is sufficient for extreme creativity. A 2013 German study found the threshold for creative thinking might be as low as 85 IQ. While creative achievement correlates with both intelligence and personality traits, like openness to experience, quantity often breeds quality in creative endeavors. History's most creative figures were remarkably prolific. Darwin published 120 scholarly papers, Einstein 250, Freud 330, while Edison held nearly 2,000 patents and Picasso created over 20,000 artworks. Removing judgment and increasing output volume can unlock creativity, as demonstrated by the journal writing exercise that helped students become less self-conscious about their writing. Contrary to popular belief, creativity isn't simply a right brain function. Recent brain imaging studies have debunked this oversimplified notion, revealing that creative thinking engages multiple large-scale networks spanning the frontal area, temporal lobes, and limbic system. This complex neural activity has been observed not just in average individuals, but in undeniably creative people, like freestyle rappers and jazz improvisers during their performances. Creativity offers three compelling benefits worth pursuing. First, it generates flow, that special state of energized focus and complete immersion that brings inherent joy, where artists and scientists lose track of time and self-consciousness. Second, creativity opens doors to innovative careers addressing urgent global challenges like climate change, AI coexistence, and sustainable food systems. Finally, creativity offers a path to legacy and immortality. While reliability might bring immediate success, creative breakthroughs in art, music, science, or business could make your name echo through generations. After identifying your mental targets, it's time to explore evidence-based interventions for enhancing cognitive performance. The book presents seven powerful approaches, each backed by rigorous scientific research. The first intervention might surprise you: placebo. The placebo effect works through multiple mechanisms, triggering endorphin release through the brain's opioid system and stimulating neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. A conceptual theory suggests placebos hack our brain's natural prediction engines. We're constantly building predictive models based on patterns, and placebos leverage this tendency to anticipate rewards so effectively that merely imagining outcomes produces real physiological effects. Remarkably, self-administered placebos work even when you know they're placebos, as long as you understand the power of mind-body healing. Studies on IBS patients showed significant symptom improvement from openly labeled placebos when accompanied by explanations about mind-body self-healing processes. Visualization harnesses this effect for performance enhancement, with Harvard research confirming its neurological impact. Piano students practicing only mentally showed significant improvement and similar brain changes to those physically practicing. Exercise appears to be one of the most powerful cognitive interventions available, benefiting all four target areas: executive function, learning and memory, emotional regulation, and creativity. Remarkably, even a single exercise session can yield immediate mental benefits. Research shows that light and moderate exercise, 50 to 76% max heart rate, improved cognition by 8%, hard exercise, 77 to 93%, by 12%, and very hard exercise, greater than 93%, by 16%. Morning exercise was associated with the largest cognitive boost, nearly 16%, while combining aerobic and resistance training produced the largest cognitive benefits. Blue light therapy can significantly enhance mental performance and mood regulation. MRI scans show that light immediately activates brain regions governing alertness and memory and emotions. The process involves photoreceptors in the eye, triggering two key chemicals: norepinephrine, promoting alertness, and melatonin, causing sleepiness. Blue light, around 480 nanometers, is most effective for cognitive enhancement, requiring just 200 lux to achieve effects similar to 10,000 lux of white light. Beyond these foundational interventions, the book explores more sophisticated approaches to cognitive enhancement. Serious games, games designed with a purpose beyond entertainment, naturally engage us by balancing task difficulty with skill level and providing nearly instant feedback that our brains crave. Different games enhance different cognitive functions. Action video games improve selective attention, dual knack-back games enhance working memory, and spaced repetition games dramatically improve memory retention. Neurofeedback teaches you to control your own brain waves through real-time monitoring of brain activity. Different protocols help with executive function, learning, memory, and performance enhancement. A Canadian study with 26 participants found that just 10 minutes of daily neurofeedback-based meditation produced meaningful results. After 6 weeks, compared to a control group doing math exercises, the neurofeedback group performed attention tasks faster and showed greater improvements in well-being, reduced bodily symptoms, increased body awareness, and greater calm. For those willing to explore more advanced territory, transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, involves small electrical currents through the skull into the brain. Multiple studies demonstrate TDCS's positive impact on executive function, learning and memory, emotional regulation, and creativity. A 2013 Australian study with 60 participants found those receiving active TDCS while playing cognitive training games showed superior attention, processing speed, and working memory 4 weeks after intervention compared to sham groups. Finally, certain nootropic herbs and supplements show promise for cognitive enhancement. Bacopa monnieri stands out for memory enhancement, with users showing nearly 35% better cognitive test performance than placebo groups after 8 to 12 weeks of use. For executive function, the combination of caffeine and L-theanine creates a smoother, more directed energy without the jitters coffee alone produces, improving attention control and reducing distractibility. The culmination of the neurohacking approach is the personal self-experiment, a systematic method for discovering what truly works for your unique brain chemistry and structure. The book provides 20 different self-experiment protocols, carefully organized into distinct categories based on mental targets: creativity enhancement, emotional self-regulation, executive function improvement, and memory/learning optimization. These experiments utilize various intervention types, including placebo controls, targeted exercise routines, light therapy, neurofeedback sessions, cognitive training games, non-invasive brain stimulation, and nootropic supplements. Each experiment is designed to be manageable, requiring just 15 minutes of daily commitment while following a rigorously structured scientific approach. The protocol begins with establishing clear baseline measurements of your current cognitive performance using standardized tests and self-assessment tools. Interventions are then implemented according to carefully designed randomization schedules to eliminate bias and placebo effects. Critical washout periods between different interventions ensure that effects don't carry over and contaminate results. Data visualization through graphs and charts helps identify patterns and trends in your cognitive performance over time. For optimal statistical validity, experiments should run for 30 to 60 days, incorporating 15 to 30 repetitions of each intervention type. This duration allows for sufficient data collection to detect meaningful differences in cognitive performance while accounting for natural daily variations. The book provides detailed tracking templates and analysis tools to help interpret your results effectively. The true power of this approach lies in its personalization capabilities. While large-scale scientific studies can reveal population-level effects, only careful self-experimentation can uncover what specifically works for your unique neurological makeup. For instance, while caffeine might enhance focus for many people, some individuals may experience anxiety or decreased performance. Through structured self-experimentation, you can discover your optimal dosage, timing, and combination of interventions. Neurodiversity is a fundamental principle underlying this approach. Research has shown that no two brains are identical in their structure or function, not even those of identical twins. Modern brain imaging techniques have revealed that individual brain wiring patterns are as unique as fingerprints, with differences in neural pathways, receptor densities, and neurotransmitter levels. This biological uniqueness explains why standard cognitive enhancement approaches often yield varying results across individuals. The book emphasizes that successful neurohacking requires moving beyond generic recommendations to discover personalized solutions. Through systematic self-experimentation, you can identify which interventions provide the most significant benefits for your specific cognitive goals, whether that's enhancing creativity, improving memory, or strengthening emotional regulation. This process not only leads to improved cognitive performance, but also develops a deeper understanding of your own mental processes and how to optimize them effectively. As you progress through these experiments, you'll build a comprehensive personal database of what works for your brain, allowing you to fine-tune your cognitive enhancement strategy over time. This evidence-based approach helps overcome the limitations of both one-size-fits-all recommendations and purely anecdotal advice, creating a roadmap for sustainable cognitive improvement tailored to your unique needs and goals.